Block, we delve into the municipal issues that could affect the way that you vote come November the 1st. This is our latest and final installment of what has been a 5-week local government election special. Over the last few weeks, we were looking at unpacking the municipal issues, the street level issues around the area where you live. And 5 weeks is, of course, never nearly enough to cover every single neighborhood or community or sub-council or settlement or even ward. 116 wards in the city of Cape Town. So what we've done, we've largely grouped areas where there are some form of geographic significance, where there may be a sense of commonality. And today we look at what we would consider the south of the city, sort of south of the N2, but west of the M5 highway. And we sort of map that area as something that we want to focus on. If you are a resident, you live in what we consider the south of the city, you have a municipal issue that could affect the way that you vote, 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. We start off geographically closer to where we are. Stephen Brookman is the vice chairman of the Rondebosch Rosebank Ratepayers Association. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks, Lester, and yourself?
I'm very good, thank you. What would be some of the issues that affect the residents of where you live?
Well, the usual things, I suppose. It's obviously crime is one. Burglaries, theft out of motor vehicles, theft of drain covers, petty theft, things like that. There are also issues like under the subway where people are accosted and robbed. Mm. So crime is one. Banning, of course, is another one where we're concerned with things that where the rezonings are allowed or consent uses are granted, especially for subdivisions and developments. And we try not to be knee-jerk negative about it, as ratepayers associations frequently are, and look at it objectively and accept that there's the process of densification is going to happen and that it needs to be managed. Then, of course, there are the usual other things like roads and drains and pavements and traffic and all that sort of thing.
that part of the world, that part of the southern suburbs is well settled. It's well established. The infrastructure being laid there quite some time ago. But what I noticed, and unfortunately, that's part of the world, or the southern suburbs broadly, is where I consider myself hailing from, is that particularly along the main road, that's changing. It's becoming more densified. We're seeing more high-rise flats and building blocks on what used to be a very busy main road, but still very much small town feel. That's changing at the moment. And you think this is affecting the way people are seeing how planning and development happens in that part of the world?
I think it's inevitable. People need to be near transport, they need to be near educational institutions like UCT and so on, and near jobs. And so that means they need to be on the taxi routes, they need to be near the train routes, and it's just inevitable that there will be densification and there will be developments, particularly things like sectional title developments in that area. And we just need to try and make sure that they're sensitively done and it's really just a question of accepting that change is going to happen, but to manage the change so that it's not too dramatic and it doesn't have too many negative side effects.
And you foresee this affecting how people decide on how they will vote come November 1st? Or
I don't think
is politics, is party much politics and representation separate to some of the issues there?
You know, I think the issues that seem to drive politics are things like, well, obviously crime is one, and the failure of the central government to effectively deal with the crime situation is a concern, but that's really a national concern. Mm. From a local government point of view, and it's really a vote about whether the current incumbency is doing a proper job. And I think most people seem to feel that although there's always room for improvement, and you can always criticize. It's generally doing, making an effort and trying to do well. I mean, I think, for example, if you contact the council about a leak in the road, you know, a mains leak of some sort, my experience is that they're generally there within a matter of hours. And if you, for example, just the other day, a few weeks ago, I emailed the council to say that there was a pothole in a road, in Harlequin Road. And, within 24 hours, they had I think it was a contractor, not necessarily a council employee.
Well, very lucky, Stephen, to get a 24-hour turnaround. But thanks so much for your perspective. Let's go to another part of the city now. Lavender Hill, also towards the south, heading towards Musenberg. Activist and community representative Lucinda Evans is from, or represents, or speak for what she sees in Lavendale. Do you also get 24-hour turnaround time there?
Absolutely not. We had an electric pole in Bethedon Crescent that was laying for 4 months in front of a residential home. Good morning, everyone. I'm encouraged by the colleague in front. And just the turnaround time, I was like, are we living in the same province, in the same city, on the same side? And there's no critique to our colleague, but I want to start off by saying, an electric pole that fell over in Bethedon Crescent laid in front of a residential home for 4 months. Our community is swimming in sewage. Well, you report now when you get maybe service 48 hours later as to 24 hours. Let me also say to you, fundamentally, Vumatel, the residents of Lavendale, in particular Southern Youth, have written to Vumatel over a two-year period for fibre for the community. Our children is in need of fibre to study. And it is flagged that our community is a hotspot, and therefore we cannot get fibre. And the basic fundamental needs to the community is not there. I want to say at this point in time that we need to give Lavender Hill, we need to seriously look at giving the smaller parties the opportunity to work with us and for us.
So let's talk about participation. Let's talk about people voicing or exercising a democratic voice to give impetus to some of the issues. Do you see and you expect voting activity, or at least participation, that would say, okay, this gives a mandate from the broader community, the majority of our community, and we will do so. We will come out in our numbers on November 1st to voice our political opinion.
You know, listen, there are voter fatigue in our communities. We've gone 1, 2, 3 terms with individuals, and this is no bad-mouthing any political party in particular. Individual councillors that ran, and I speak for Lavendale and I speak for broader councillors, that ran their wards that it was their own family home. Ward councillors that would tell people like me and many other community activists and women leaders, I will make sure that you don't. And that word don't comes with many other things. And so people like myself and many others had to work with the community. We are still marginalized. We are still oppressed. We are still in some areas swimming in our sewage. We don't have 24 hours turnaround time because our community has been flagged as a hotspot. So when we're lucky, an electric pole laying in front of a residential home in Dixon Crescent will get services within 4 months.
Lucinda, of course, voting is not the only political voice that people have.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. You should be participating in politics no matter when there's an election cycle. And yes, I agree. There is also a form of protest. That is also a form of valid political voice. But let's talk about November 1st. Are you encouraging people then to go vote, let's go change, let's go see what we can do?
I'm encouraging people to go and vote. I'm encouraging people to give the smaller parties that are saying, here are us. Because in some, the individuals in some of that smaller parties is activists like myself. Mm. We know them. We know their track record. I want to say to the community as well, we have to keep who we vote in accountable. And our colleague, our previous speaker, that civic is an example of what we need to do. We need to write when the time needs to come and say, this is the service that we don't get. As community activists, we should actually ask these people for their activism profile. Mm-hmm. How long have you been working in the community? What have you done in the community? Because our predecessors, which I hope and pray we vote out for, we know them now. Mm-hmm. And we are not in a Stockholm syndrome that we would want to vote these same people back in.
Lucinda Evans, she represents the Lavender Hill part of the southern suburbs. That's what we're doing every Monday. We talk about municipal issues.